Good afternoon. This is Tamara reading the Gilman Star for the week of January 20th. We'll start as usual with the As We See It column. Most weeks we run two editorial pieces from two gentlemen whose views are normally polar opposites. So it comes as no surprise that our readers have differing opinions about the thoughts they express. And to be honest, we do also on occasion. But it is nice to have two contributors who are willing to share their thoughts and stimulate our discussions. And we might add, these two writers do so gratis. We've had readers question the slant of both these writers, take at times, and on various subjects, and disagree with what they have written, and in some cases talk about canceling their subscriptions because of what one or both have written. This is a crazy world these days, with a number of unexplainable things going on, and these two writers are willing to publicly talk about what they're thinking, when lots of people are afraid to publicly state their opinions, for fear they will be branded as belonging to one faction or another. These are not normal times, and we need these people, especially in the light of recent events, to give us two sides of what's going on. I remember our drill sergeant, who we have mentioned before, saying he had basically most of the answers by telling a doubting recruit, "Son, I have been around the world twice, been to three county fairs, and..." expletive deleted, you fill that one in, "and I've never seen anything like that." Sarge had the answers, but your editor doesn't, and apparently there are a lot of people who argue as to what our government should be doing, so we need people who can give us both sides of the argument, although we don't think we'll change many minds. We do find ourselves really needing a diversion from this mess, and normally our grandkids can take our minds off whatever we're thinking. But we've not seen as much lately because of the plague. Thankfully, it's been a mild winter so far. From the hard copy edition of the Gilman Star, there's a photo, which we'll do our best to describe here. The Gilman Store was always a good visit for youngsters. Pictured above are some of the displays in Henry Worrell's store, which was still in business when we were a kid back in the 50s. On the right is a Japanese suit of armor. At that time, it was located between what is now a classroom for kids and Inside Out in Gilman's business district. Prior to that, it was located in a building which still stands at Main and Front Streets. Jim Schroeder brought us a box full of pictures from the store, and we've started to delve through them. The store was also the subject of a Chicago Daily News story in 1937, which we will print in the near future. Iroquois West Board briefed on athletics. It seems like everybody involved with kids in schools would like to see the break of day, as far as the COVID-19 virus is concerned, and resuming athletics and giving the kids something to look forward to would be a good start. The Iroquois West Board and the rest of the state had been looking forward to a pronouncement coming from the Illinois High School Athletic Association this week to the effect that things would be moving that way, especially with this area going to the more relaxed Tier 1 status from previously being in Tier 3. The IHSA dangled the carrot of some good news before saying there will be more news on January 27th, which is next Wednesday. Kids can work in the weight room, and the volleyball could start around February 15th or earlier with games. Basketball teams can do some winter practices and intra-squad practices, and scrimmages are okay, but interscholastic games are out. Football's still out. IW Superintendent Angelo Lekas praised the substitute bus drivers for their roles in meeting demanding schedules to follow COVID-19 timelines. Lekas also said the COVID numbers are down for IW, while county numbers are up slightly. The superintendent told board members that community team members are still meeting, though the numbers are down from what they were in the beginning. Lekka said he would hope to see more and is thankful to those who do attend. In other action, the board accepted the resignation of Lake Nichols as 7th grade basketball coach. The editor's note thanks Jim Schroeder for bringing information about Worrell's store and the box of photos. "We remember Mr. Worrell, who was always gracious to us curious kids." "Gun collector of Gilman owns 7-pound pistol," read the headline of the story that ran in the Chicago Daily News in May of 1937. Henry Worrell was 63 years old when that story was written, and he was still around 20 years later when your editor and his friends would stop in his shop to look at arrowheads and old pistols and rifles as well as suits of armor. The Daily News reporter wrote, "A quiet man, Mr. Worrell comes by his love of implements of war through ancestors who fought on American soil for independence in the Revolution and other ancestors with the Union forces in the Civil War. Henry had an old Turkish flintlock pistol of 20 inches from the period when Stephen Decatur fought against the Moors. Its barrel looks like that of a 16-gauge shotgun. It is a muzzle loader. We hope to go through some of the pictures Jim has brought to us, but there are a bunch, and they are fascinating. We will try to use some of them in the future." And that's a picture of a bearskin above. And now the COVID-19 update by zip code, starting with January 12th, and then the update on the 19th. Gilman, January 12th, 276 up to 281. Clifton, 247 up to 249. Ashcombe, 142 up to 148. Danforth, 80 up to 81. Onarga, 210 up to 212. Watseka, 515 up to 532. Crescent City, 61 up to 62. Cisna Park remained at 172. Thawville remained at 34. Piper City was 111 up to 113. Lab confirmed cases 2230. Test results 33,725. Negative 31,118. Positive 2,230. Deaths 56. Of the confirmed cases, 2,477 have recovered and been released from isolation. 3 are hospitalized. 71 remain isolated at home. We have a photo of Braylon Porter of the Ashcombe Go-Getters feeding his baby lambs as part of his 4-H demonstration. On January 9th, 2021, President Dylan Behrens called a Zoom meeting to order for the Ashcombe Go-Getters at 9:31 a.m. Pledges were led by Marley Triben. Roll call was taken by Abby Hansen. There were 26 4-H members, 6 4-H leaders, 4 clover buds, and 8 guests present at the meeting. Secretary's minutes from the December meeting were read by Abby Hansen. Riley Behrens read the treasurer's report. Health and safety report was written and read by Ainsley Porter and Lainey Bushin on how to keep your pets safe. All reports were approved. In old business, Dylan asked for activity ideas during COVID. Dylan also discussed enrollment deadlines for the different 4-H projects. Riley Behrens talked about her family's participation in the Unit 4-H holiday party on December 18th, which included a craft, games, and Christmas costume contest. In review of holiday service activities, 4-H members drew holiday pictures to make a coloring book for the nursing home. The 4-H club provided coloring books, crayons, and cookies for the nursing home residents. The club gave out 4 holiday gift cards to military members who were former or family members of the club. The Santa mailbox provided by the Ashcombe Go-Getters was popular. For new business, 10 4-H members are going to make Valentines for the nursing home residents. Krista Hickman participated in the 4-H Extension's Find Your Spark Teen Teacher Program. Cloverbuds decided to have their own Zoom call so they can participate in their own activity. Charlene Finnegan challenged 4-H members, leaders, and parents to come up with ideas on how we could do the Easter egg hunt with the current COVID restrictions. Charlene also announced that the 4-H Foundation has a grant open to support 4-H club activities. She is requesting all to think of ideas so our club can submit an application. Both would be discussed at the next meeting in February. Demonstrations were from Carson McGill, Telescopes, Reflecting and Refracting, Claire Byerly, How to Make a Walking Rainbow, Braylon Porter, How to Make a Bottle for a Baby Lamb, Ainsley Porter, How to Make a Sloppy Joe, and Olivia Porter, How to Get Ready for Baby Lambs. Recreation Activity of 20 Questions was led by Elizabeth Fatka. The next meeting is scheduled for February 13th. Claire Byerly, reporter. Notice to Danforth residents. Due to the City of Gilman ending our agreement to use their brush pile for Danforth residents, Danforth residents may no longer bring anything to the Gilman brush pile effective immediately. Danforth will look into finding another place as soon as possible. If anyone has a place or an idea, please contact Larry Decker, Danforth Village Board. You can pick up your Gilman Star newspaper in Gilman at Hometown Family Foods, Gilman OPCO, the mobile station, Wasmer's, or Dollar General. In Onarga, it's available at Best Supermarket, Casey's, Onarga Station by Interstate, and in Crescent City, it's available at Casey's. And now a letter to the editor from Doug Stame. Having read Russ Mann's and Alan Weber's pieces on current events, I just can't help myself from making a few comments. I will be brief. As you know, I have been unable to get my head around how Trump has been able to get followers to buy into his lies and hatred. The Donald doesn't give a damn about them and will abandon them just as he has done with associates who were not mindlessly loyal to him. Yet he has fermented a hatred in many Americans that has resulted in the attack on our democracy and its institutions. John, I realize you are physically located in a Trump wheelhouse. The election results in your area clearly support the above statement. I commend you for providing your subscribers with opposing viewpoints and opinions. Mr. Weber is concerned that Trump and his supporters are having their First Amendment rights trampled upon, as evidenced by the removal of their rhetoric on several social media platforms. I simply cannot believe Trump and his supporters are surprised. Allowing anyone to spew hatred and outright lies is reprehensible. I believe any media outlet has the right to at least comment on content and or ban content that is subversive, violent, or advocates insurrection. I thought the attack on the Capitol might cool Mr. Weber's jets a bit. His piece entitled, What a Coup Looks Like, doesn't make any sense beyond blaming several Democrats and the press for the attack on the Capitol. It appears he has drunk enough Trump Kool-Aid as to make him actually believe the crap Trump has been feeding us. John, I am thinking you need to help protect us by not printing all of this senseless insanity. East Central Illinois Community Action Agency has funds for income-eligible residents of Iroquois County to help with energy bill assistance and/or emergency assistance. At Iroquois County, Illinois office location, 219 North Central Street, Gilman. Office hours are 8 a.m. and through 3:30 p.m. Monday through Friday. Office number is 815-707-5001. ECICAA provides Iroquois County residents assistance with energy bill assistance services and or emergency services. These funds allow eligible individuals and families to receive direct payments toward their energy bills. Those who need assistance paying their heating bills may apply for services by calling the office number listed for their county. Please do not wait until receiving a disconnection notice. Call now for an appointment. During the COVID pandemic, customers must call or stop by the office to schedule an appointment in order to be served. Customers may request a virtual or face-to-face appointment. Applicants must bring the following to their appointment: Social Security cards for all household members, driver's license or government-issued photo ID, proof of gross income for all household members for the 30-day income period, beginning with the date of the application, including pay stubs, SSA, SSI, SSD current benefit letters, pension retirement statements, child support, unemployment reports, township general assistance notices, self-employment reports, or proof of zero income. Copy of current heat and electric bills issued within the last 30 days. A signed copy of current lease or rental agreement, if heat and electric service are not in your name or if utilities are included with the rent. Proof of medical eligibility or disability award letter, if applicable. And finally, proof that the household receives temporary assistance for needy families, TANF, Aid to the Aged, Blind, or Disabled, AABD, and or the Illinois Link Card, food stamps, if applicable. If your birthday falls this week, and appears on the birthday list, you're entitled to a free sundae at the Gilman Dairy Queen or the Gilman McDonald's, a quarter pound of fudge from the front porch, or a free movie at the Onarga Theater. Just clip and take the birthday list to the Gilman Dairy Queen, the McDonald's, the front porch, or the theater. The community calendar of events. The second Tuesday of the month at 5:05 p.m., the Gilman Historical Society meeting at the Old City Hall. Open by appointment, 265-4381 or 265-7518. On the fourth Monday of the month at 7 p.m., the Slow Boys Tractor Club meets at the Farm Bureau. Third Tuesday of the month at 7 p.m., the Danforth Historical Society Board of Directors meet at Danforth Village Hall. Third Wednesday of the month at 6 a.m., Douglas Park District will meet at Gilman City Hall, February through November. 815-268-0019 or at gilmanpark.org. First Thursday of the month at 6 p.m., the Gilman Auxiliary will meet. 7 p.m., the Gilman Legion will meet. 7 p.m., the Onarga Historical Society meets at 611 West Seminary, Onarga. The community calendar is for a nonprofit organizations and special meetings. It cannot be used for money-making projects. We will try to list items 2 weeks ahead. The deadline to get an item in the calendar is Tuesday at noon. And now a column from Russ Mann. He'll listen to the scientists. The United States of America, to its credit and its prosperity, has always placed an emphasis on education, and much of that in the field of science and scientific research. Science has returned America's investment in spades through development of new products and industries. Ergo, it's likely that one of the prime reasons that Americans didn't vote to retain Donald Trump as president was that he has shown intelligent Americans, the majority of voters, his disdain for facts, and in particular science facts. Prior to the emergence of the coronavirus strain that has overwhelmed the planet, Donald Trump had already been at odds with earth sciences and environmentalists. Then when COVID-19 reared its ugly head and Trump wanted to play it down so as not to spook Wall Street, scientists from all federal health agencies, CDC, HHS, and NIH all defied Trump and warned of the severity of the pandemic. So it was no surprise that in campaigning for re-election, he warned his base that his opponent in the 2020 election, Joe Biden, would listen to the scientists, meaning, of course, that Biden will shut down whatever parts of the economy is necessary, as per the best advice of the scientific health experts, to bring the pandemic under control so that we can eventually put it behind us. However, Americans with functioning brain cells fully understand that the only way out of this pandemic is by science. Yes, Joe Biden will listen to the scientists, and he will need to make some decisions that will be unpopular in order to stop the carnage of mass death from COVID-19 and to return the nation and its economy to some semblance of normalcy. It should be evident by now, even to those people who say a mask is an infringement on their rights, like seat belts, stop signs, and speeding laws, that the pandemic is not a Democrat hoax that would, as Donald Trump predicted, go away after the election. Yet wasn't it interesting that when Trump caught COVID, his first call was to a scientist, to Dr. Fauci, to ask for advice. Trump's contempt for science has been a major contributing factor to the heavy loss of life in the U.S., to a strain of virus that is again ramping up and is well on its way to killing 500,000 Americans. Yet President Trump and his pandemic task force have now effectively walked away from it and are indifferent to its impending doom. Now, with the first and second vaccine in implementation, Donald Trump has expressed concerns that Biden will take credit for the vaccine. President Harry Truman once said, "It is amazing what you can accomplish if you do not care who gets the credit." Joe Biden doesn't want credit, he only wants it to work. It's rather obvious that Donald Trump was never really interested in doing the job of being president, but instead coveted having the power and the influence to channel income to his businesses. To that end, he declared war on the Constitution, on the Congress, and even sent lynch mobs to hang his vice president. Yes, a President Biden will yield to the educated opinions of experts, and in matters of alliances and foreign policy, Biden will listen to career statesmen and diplomats, not advice sought from foreign despots like President Putin in clandestine meetings and phone calls. On the economy, he will listen to both corporate executives and labor leaders so that policies can be established that do not favor one segment or the economy. President Joe Biden, like all presidents since the 1960s and before Donald Trump, does not have conflicting business interests that sway his decisions at the expense of what's good for the American people, or that compromises the security of the nation. President-elect Biden will listen to many experts. He has already shown himself to have a clear perspective of the importance of security, and unlike his predecessor, will not blow off his daily security briefings. And he will indeed consult on a daily basis with defense and intelligence officials, and he has emphasized that he will not interfere in or direct investigations by the DOJ, the FBI, or the CIA against his political opponents. Biden will do all of those things that Donald Trump failed to do, but are required of a chief executive for the safety and prosperity of a nation. President Joe Biden will talk to his constituency, and more importantly, he will listen to the American people, because that's what an American government is all about. We'll turn now to the death notices for the week. Carol May Reinagle of Rice Lake, Wisconsin, 79, passed away on Sunday, January 17th. A private celebration of her life will be held on January 31st at the Rice Lake Methodist Church with Reverend Susan Offler officiating. It will be live streamed so family and friends can celebrate Carol's life at ricelakeumc.org or at John Tilling on Facebook. An extended family celebration of life will be held in Illinois in the summer of 2021. Appleyard's Home for Funerals in Rice Lake, Wisconsin is in charge of arrangements. In her memory, read a book to a child, read a book to yourself, support libraries, and become a lifelong learner. In lieu of flowers, the family wishes any donations be made to Carol Reinagle Memorial Scholarship Fund at 2752 27th Street, Birchwood, Wisconsin, 54817. Proceeds will be used to support educational opportunities for future educators and school librarians. Mary A. Pfeiffer, 90, of Gilman, passed away January 14th at Riverside Medical Center in Kankakee. Private visitation and funeral services will be held at Nap Radinius Funeral Home in Gilman. Burial will follow at St. Mary's Catholic Cemetery in Gilman. Mary's grandchildren will serve as her pallbearers. The family requests no flowers or memorial gifts. Please share a memory of Mary at napfuneralhome.com. This concludes the reading of the death notices for the week. We'll continue with local news and opinion. And now opinion from Alan Weber. Censorship in America is wrong. Before I left for vacation, I was shocked that social media platforms such as Twitter and Facebook censored the sitting president of the United States. It still seems completely incomprehensible as I write this. I was even more dumbfounded that we, the American people, allowed it to happen. As free Americans, we should have dropped the services of any social media source immediately for taking away his First Amendment rights, regardless if you like him or not. I'd been planning to drop Facebook after returning last Saturday. My design was to switch to the alternative, Parler, and had opened an account. Being a ham bone, I regularly publish my blog in various groups on Facebook, and need to find alternate sources for my dopamine hits. Censorship has been on my mind heavily, as it appears conservatism is the current target. I had every intent of writing a commentary about it, but it occurred to me if I was going to talk the talk, I had to walk the walk by severing the umbilical cord to Facebook. When I got back from vacation, however, I learned Parler had also been censored by being removed from the internet by Apple, Google, and Amazon. No collusion there? Seems they blame Parler for allowing the deplorables to use Parler services on their platform to incite the assault on the Capitol. I guess it doesn't occur to snowflake geeks that Antifa and or BLM might use Parler too. My understanding is that Parler has made a deal with another internet provider and may be back up by the end of the month. If Parler doesn't go broke, we can only hope so, as to give big tech the one-finger salute they deserve, or we can always repeal Section 230 to reel them in a little. Folks, big tech has taken over our ways to communicate, and now are chipping away at the First Amendment rights of conservatives by acts of censorship. Are we that addicted to our media sources and cell phones, or so righteous in our ideologies that we don't care half of America is being censored? Know this, if it's not affecting you now, they will eventually come for you as well. Incredibly, Alex Stamos, former Facebook chief security advisor, appeared on CNN pushing for eradicating all conservative media. CNN wants to censor Newsmax because of their growing conservative popularity. And most incredible of all, left-wing elitist loon Katie Couric wants to deprogram Trump supporters. I will volunteer for Katie to try it on me first. Big business has also gotten involved in abetting these acts of censorship by threatening to pull their ads from internet providers for having the audacity to allow certain companies or people they don't like to use the service. One would think they would like to sell to all of America rather than just half. Parler is attempting to get their site back up on the internet provider Cloudrovia. Instantly, the furniture brand Saves had and a video calling platform named Pijin pulled their ads from Cloudrovia. For the record, Saves makes officer furniture in Europe, and after an exhaustive internet search that nearly cost me my eyesight, I believe Pijin is based in Australia and is a competitor to Zoom and Skype. A snowflake at Pijin said, Parler have been directly involved in the promotion of propaganda, instigated violence, destruction of government property, and murder, and it's not something we will support. We won't be using Cloudrovia any longer. A Saves pinhead also said the company does not condone any of the hate speech that circulates on Parler. If they were both so concerned about what content the platforms allow on the internet, why didn't they say or do something about those sites allowing the transmission of child porn? One would be hard-pressed to find many of the millions of Trump voters who believe the Capitol incident was entirely incited by Trump supporters, nor much different than any of the anarchy seen all summer with people tearing apart our cities. I couldn't find one incident where either of these companies had a word to say about the anarchy that destroyed Kenosha, Wisconsin, when a man was shot by police but now admits he had a knife and a criminal record. So excuse me if I don't care what people from foreign countries think about our election process. We've been the envy of the world for 245 years thanks to our founding fathers and the blood of generations that came after them. Fortunately, the CEO of Cloudrovia had enough spine to stand up to the companies threatening to leave. He replied, "You may not support the current leader of the USA, however, if you respect democracy, consider 75 million Americans voted him into power. The recent bans on social media signal a dangerous threat to our democracy. We have witnessed the silencing of an elected politician by non-elected entrepreneurs. Taking away someone's voice should worry us all. The fact this voice belongs to the elected leader of the free world exhibits the frightening power of tech." You might want to go back and read his last paragraph again. I couldn't have said it any better. This has been Tamara reading the Gilman Star for the week. I hope to read with you again soon. Be safe, be well.